This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, December 17, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. West Michigan U.S. Representative Bill Huizinga announced Monday that he is running for a ninth term in Congress. He spoke with WGVU's Dee Morrison.
Frankly, there's a lot of unfinished business coming out of the last 4 years.
Bill Huizinga will be running for re-election in Michigan's 4th District, representing the Lakeshore from Port Sheldon Township in Ottawa County, south to Lincoln Township in Berrien County.
I would argue you look at what had happened with the economy, with inflation, with our energy policy. All of those things still are on the turnaround, but we have more work to do on that, and I want to be a part of that.
The Zeeland Republican sparked speculation he might retire after announcing in July he would not run for the U.S. Senate seat of outgoing Democrat Gary Peters. Huizinga says he wants to continue focusing on the economy, environment, business, and energy, mentioning Michigan's prioritization of data centers.
We need to make sure that power is available and affordable, which is one of the reasons why I've been working on the Palisades nuclear plant being restarted, for example, making sure that we have adequate energy here in the state of Michigan and within our regional electric grid.
There are currently 4 Democrats planning to run for the seat, with the primary next August. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids City officials cut the ribbon on its new public service center. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how the operations hub marks a major milestone in the city's long-term infrastructure strategy.
The spaces that we've freed up by moving stuff here are going to be part of what doesn't just make it better for the city to do its city things, but it's going to be part of what Grand Rapids is going to be able to do to make Grand Rapids a bigger, a better, a more prosperous, a more flourishing city.
Mayor David LaGrange says the former Kent County Road Commission headquarters on Scribner Avenue Northwest consolidates Grand Rapids Public Works, Fleet and Facilities, and Parks and Recreation Departments into a single campus. The $98.2 million project features electric vehicle infrastructure, green space, modern amenities, and a 7,700-ton salt dome. City Manager Mark Washington.
I'm so proud that we were able to move from a facility that was over 100 years old to a more modern public works facility, similar to our partners at the county, and provide the best for our city and our workforce.
The new facility replaces the former Market Avenue site, which was vacated to develop the Acrisure Amphitheater and upcoming housing projects. Officials say relocating the center supports the city's vision for riverfront development and modernizes essential operations.
It's going to spark housing investment along the river corridor, but we're also able to take some of those proceeds from that venue and put in our affordable housing fund.
The new public service center brings together more than 190 staff across 17 city divisions. I'm David Limbaugh.
Art Prize adds millions to the local economy, creates hundreds of jobs, and is something only Grand Rapids has. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the City Commission is renewing an agreement to keep the competition going for at least another 3 years.
This overall was a very successful year.
Art Prize Executive Director Caitlin Whittington says the competition had more visitors spending more money in 2025.
$82.6 million into the regional economy.
In a presentation to the City Commission, Whittington says, in the 3 years since the city, Downtown Grand Rapids, Inc., and Kendall College of Art and Design of Ferris State University took over Art Prize,
we have brought $208 million into the local economy and created so many jobs across all different sectors.
The City Commission is supporting another Memorandum of Understanding to keep Art Prize going for at least 3 more years. And Mayor David LaGrande says it's not just because it's good for the economy.
Art is not something we do so we can make money. This is something that I think fundamentally you can't ever think about primarily in economic terms.
And LaGrande says Art Prize is now part of what makes Grand Rapids, Grand Rapids.
What is Grand Rapids? What makes us unique? For me, one is Meyer Garden. Art Prize is the other one.
Art Prize is something that people in the community look forward to. As one of my favorite volunteers says, it's better than Christmas.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Hot meals and holiday cheer were on the menu at the annual Mel Trotter Ministries Christmas Luncheon in Grand Rapids on Wednesday. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
How are you?
you guys? Good. Do you know what you're going to have? There's the menu.
Michelle acts as hostess at Mel Trotter Ministries Shelter Cafeteria.
You have ham and chicken.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
More than 300 men, women, and children come to the annual Christmas community meal, complete with all the traditional favorites. Chief Financial Officer Gordon Oosting says winter has already hit hard.
There's a lot of need, and when it gets real cold like it's been, and a lot of snow and difficult to get around, we just see the number of people staying here increase dramatically, where we have to open up a number of different overflow areas.
Sponsored by the DTE Foundation, the luncheon is open to Hartside neighborhood residents and anyone in the community experiencing homelessness.
The people we serve, they can act like a family, and they kind of stay together. So being all here together and having a lot of dignity just lifts their spirits tremendously.
Mel Trotter is the largest provider of services for the homeless in West Michigan, assisting nearly 5,000 people last year, offering transitional housing, health care, substance abuse treatment, and job training, in addition to meals for the hungry. Those enjoying holiday lunch sent off with a cheery wave from Michelle.
Are you all set? Okay, you're welcome.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Saugatuck Township has secured a nearly $2.5 million grant from the state. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us township officials will use it to create a new park and nature preserve.
The grant comes from the Michigan Natural Resource Trust Fund. Saugatuck Township plans to use the money to purchase 119 acres along the Kalamazoo River, just across from River Bluff Park, transforming it into a public park and nature preserve called Riverside Park. The 2,200 feet of riverfront property features coastal wetlands, a wooded ravine with flowing tributary, shrub wetlands, and a large open field. Once purchased, the township plans to add a parking lot, entrance signage, trail maps, and a 3.1-mile trail loop. Additional features could include a wetland boardwalk, kayak launch, outdoor classroom, fishing pier, and athletic amenities such as a 9-hole disc golf course. These features will be concentrated in an open field area, preserving 75% of the land for natural space and restoration. Saugatuck Township has received over $7.2 million in grants and other funding sources since voters approved a Parks and Trails millage in 2022. That millage will have generated around $726,000 in local revenue by the end of 2026. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another one of our One Small Step conversations, but first, news from around the state. In a ruling on Tuesday, the Michigan Court of Appeals says the city of Taylor must comply with a Freedom of Information Act request seeking police misconduct reports. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The ACLU of Michigan wants records related to allegations of racial profiling, racial discrimination, harassment, or excessive force in the southeast Michigan city. A three-judge panel rejected arguments the records were exempt from disclosure because the request was not specific enough. ACLU attorney Mark Fancher says that skirts the intent of the law that's supposed to assist people seeking information about government.
They're not able to provide detailed descriptions of the records because they don't have them. They haven't seen them.
The court also rejected the argument that the records are exempt while the ACLU is involved in a separate police misconduct lawsuit against the city in federal court. The city can appeal to the Michigan Supreme Court. I'm Rick Pluta.
The Michigan Senate voted on Tuesday evening to restore some state spending on projects that were stripped of their grant money by a Michigan House committee last week. The committee used a rare budget move to cancel the funding unilaterally. Republican House leadership argues it was largely wasteful spending that got left on the balance sheet when the previous budget ran out, but Canton Township Supervisor Anne-Marie Graham-Hudak disagrees. Her township has lost $1 million it had been promised for a new center to support child survivors of sexual assault.
We've already entered into contracts. We've spent funds on design and planning. The state has already reimbursed some of those costs. This project is real, active, and moving forward, and stopping it now would leave a critical gap in services for abused children in our region.
In total, nearly $645 million in state spending got rejected. The Senate bill would restore all but around $11 million of that money, and now goes to the House of Representatives, where resistance is likely. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today in our One Small Step conversation, we bring together two strangers for a conversation about their lives, not politics. Adrienne served in the Peace Corps, and Banza lived in a Tanzanian refugee camp before resettling in the United States. Two people from vastly different backgrounds share a conversation about their deepest life experiences and beliefs, resulting in mutual understanding and inspiration.
Hi, Adrienne. My name is Banza. I am 49 years old. I am from Granville.
Hi, Banza. My name is Adrienne. I am 34 years old, and I am from Ferrisburg, Michigan.
I grew up in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's Central Africa. It's a big country, second largest country in Africa. It's different because over there, my country, the culture is different. So tropical country, we don't have a snow, no snow. We don't have a summer. It's a rain and dry season. That's only the climate we have. What about you? Where you grew up?
I grew up in a suburb of the city of Chicago. I guess probably a little bit older suburb. It's not quite the cookie cutter image that I think suburb usually brings to mind. I don't know if you're familiar with the Peace Corps. I was assigned to go to Ghana for 2 years. I lived in a small community in northern Ghana. So Ghana does have some coastline that I think is probably considered more tropical. I think where mm-hmm. I was kind of more savanna. Like you said, very, very, very dry season and a wet season mm-hmm. with kind of monsoon-like rains. When I was there, I just kind of did what I could. You're really just in your community kind of as the sole outsider. And so we were able to raise some money, and we did build a small library, and there was another mm-hmm. organization that supplied books for that. Educational things in the small classrooms that they had there, kind of about sanitation and health. And that was mm-hmm. a Muslim community, so some of the Islamic holidays mm-hmm. just taking part in that.
I was born in Democratic Republic of Congo. I left my country when I was 23 years old. And then I moved to different countries, which is Tanzania, is East Africa. The border is a lake. There is a big lake. It's called Tanganyika Lake. It's the second largest in the world. I moved there with my family, my wife, my daughter, and my siblings, and my mom. So we live in a refugee camp for 15 years. And then from the refugee camp, I got resettlement from refugee camp to United States. And right now in the United States, it's almost 13 years.
You think you'll ever go back to DRC, or have you been back?
Before was not in my country. The first trip I did it was in Tanzania. I went back to the refugee camp. And then I went back to my country in 2020. So it was a good experience for me. It was so inspirational, and it touched me so much because the people I left behind, they are some of them, they're no longer alive. Some of them, they died. My friends, we went to school together. I met them. Yeah, it was very good for me to go back and see my friends and my family. So is there anything did you like the most when you were in Ghana?
Honestly, I really liked the culture, especially where I was at, and they were very, very welcoming of guests. Since going there, I've gotten married and had a kid, so I think it'd be really, really fun to go back with them. The food was very good, too, so definitely hard to find here.
Ooh.
I saw one Ghanaian food truck that is in the area here. I think he's based out of Muskegon.
Really? We have people from Ghana here around.
He runs that food truck I was talking about. He's from the south of Ghana. His experience of Ghana is probably a little different than mine.
Okay.
Yeah. Could you briefly describe your personal political values?
You know, I am a pastor. I don't used to be in political stuff mostly, but I love so much to tell people you have to vote. It's good to vote. It's a right of any citizen. It's good to know about the political stuff, but I'm not interested to be part of politics. What about you?
I'm not partisan. I, in fact, am not a huge fan of having only two parties. I think that really limits everybody's choices. I agree it's important to vote, but when there's only two parties, putting a candidate forward. Your vote, it can only go A or B. Not a big fan of that. Probably from there, it really depends on, I think, the topic. I think that's part of my issue with political parties is they each have a platform and you kind of have to sign on to the entire package or not at all. Kind of just makes it seem like there's only two choices on every topic that comes up, but most things have gray areas and nuance that isn't really captured by side A and side B.
I am a founding pastor of the Restoration Community Church, that's a church, and the church is, I would say, mostly refugees from Africa. What about you? So your faith play a role in political stuff?
Yeah, I feel a little guilty. Sorry, Pastor. I'm not really that religious. I did grow up going to church. My mother is Presbyterian. My father's Irish Catholic. Now he's baptized and confirmed. But I don't know. I think I just never really got religion. I like theology. I like hearing about all the different beliefs. I certainly think it has a role in society.
You don't have a church that you are affiliated with?
No, I grew up going to church, but no.
So if I may ask, why you don't want religion, you don't want faith?
I think there's just so many things that humans don't know, and I think religions kind of across the board just kind of assume they're right about certain things that I would just guess humans can't really know about, and so it's just hard for me to buy into it. That said, when I'm struggling with stuff, I certainly peek out to the sky as if there's a God.
Yeah, it's okay. So, sometimes it's good to take your own decision. So maybe down the road you will see something and then you can say, oh, let me switch, let me change. It happens sometimes. Yeah. God will give you something and then say, ah, let me go. My mom, she's the one who helped me to know which direction I can take. My mom and my dad, they were separate. I lived a long time with my mom. Even she passed away last year. So she was like my hero. And she's the one who shaped me. That's the part of my mom. But I would say God, he showed me the way how I can be together with other people and how I can be a better person, how I can love my neighbor. In French, you say, tout vie est une école. It means every life is a class. So when I was in a refugee camp, the situation I was in shaped to be a different person because I was living in a place where I'd never been, living hopeless and discouraged and depressed and stressful. And so now I learned so much how I can live with other people, how I can live with people different from my culture. The environment here, the system here in the United States shaped me as well, shaped me to other level again, to know how I can survive, how I can adjust a life here in the United States. So what shaped you to become today as you are?
First, I'll just say I was nodding along to a lot of what you said. And sorry to hear about your mom passing, but glad you had the experience you did with her. I'd agree. My parents for sure definitely shaped me. My parents are still together. I had the good fortune of growing up with both of them in the household. Yeah.
That's good.
I can definitely see different parts of each of them in me. Yeah, I think as I get older and reflect back, even my grandparents, there's definitely, you can see a lot of the genetics kind of making their way down, shaping who I am and how I see things. I think I'm honestly probably still trying to define who I am and what my core beliefs are. Perhaps not having a faith contributes to that. I think too, humor is very important to me. It makes life enjoyable, sometimes even in the bleakest moments. Yeah, I first thought of my mom as well as one of the kindest people, making sacrifices for me and my siblings and my dad. All right, Bonza, what's something you will take with you from this experience? Is there anything you learned about me today that surprised you?
You love people. You love people. It doesn't matter about where they come from, where countries, because you even traveled for 2 years in Ghana. I'm so happy about you. Yeah, you love people and you don't have a barrier. I can see. Yeah, that's very good. Good of you.
I didn't realize there was much of a refugee immigrant community in Grand Rapids. I haven't spent much time there. something I feel like we should be welcoming to refugees, but personally, I haven't ever done anything to help them. I don't know where they are or how to help them. So I might have to circle back around to you and your church and see what I can do to help. And then I learned a lot from you today. Yeah, that's quite a life experience to have. And despite all that, you still seem so optimistic and everything. That's beneficial to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adrian. I'm so lucky to have you for the first time. This is my first time to storytelling, so you are the first person I meet. Yeah.
Hope you keep sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope you will share you as well, other people.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, December 17, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.